Do you guys notice Clayton is here this morning? It's good to see him back. And he's been doing all kinds of things, and he's going to tell us about what he's been doing and where he's headed and what God's teaching him. So here you go, brother. Welcome.
All right. Good morning. I was told I have like around 7 minutes, so I apologize with how fast I'm about to talk because there's a lot that's happened.
Give or take.
Yeah, give or take a few. So you guys are probably wondering, what's this long-haired hippie child doing up here? The hair's just a phase. The beard's a lifestyle. So I'll just tell you guys. Last semester was probably one of the hardest seasons of my life ever. I struggled a lot. I suffered a lot. It was an experience. But I grew a lot out of that. Satan, for some reason, just wanted to end me, and he would not let me up. But I'm here, I'm alive, and everything's great. I'm currently a public policy student at William Jessup. Most of you guys know this. Yes, going into politics. No, not by choice, but God called me, so that's where I'm going. It's kind of terrifying, and it's really hard. Also, it's really good to see you guys. I just want to say that. It's been so long, and you know, you guys, this has been my home for so long. I've grown up here and been in ministry here for most of my life. Also, I apologize. I'm coming down with a little bit of sickness, so I am short of breath. But anyway, so basically, long story short, last semester was really rough. A lot of things happened. I got voted president, student body president, which was awesome. That came with a lot of responsibilities. I also I'm part of our freshman orientation group where we teach freshmen about Jessup when they come in. So my life was hectic. I was taking 18 units, and a public policy major, that equates to more like 21 units because my professor that I have, oh my gosh, he just loves to make it difficult. I took the hardest class that we have at the school last semester. Nobody has passed the midterm in 5 years, so I didn't. Unfortunately, but still, I was like, oh, maybe I'll be the one. I was not. So that was hard. It was a hard class. It was a hard semester, but God taught me a lot. So that's out of the way. This semester. All right. So what's coming up for me? I'm still student body president. Just kind of plugging away at that. It's awesome. Doing a lot of things there. I'll probably have another update once this semester is over on that because there's so much going on. There's just so much school politics. Oh my goodness gracious. But hey, that's what I asked for being a public policy student. Coming up, hey Mike, if you could put up the picture. Okay. That's awkward. Anyway. So I'm going to Germany. I can't really say that online because it's like for international safety or whatever, but I can tell you guys I'm going to Germany on a mission trip. And we're doing the craziest thing. It's called flash mob evangelism. And yeah, when I first joined the team, I was like, is this like a new like Gen Z term for just regular street evangelism? No. Hey, look, there's my team. Aren't they beautiful? Oh my gosh, I love them. They're incredible. No, flash mob evangelism. We are dancing. We are literally going to the streets of Germany, and we are doing interpretive dancing in the streets. It's okay to laugh. It is. I laughed. I was like, wait, are you kidding me? What did I sign up for? Not yet. We haven't practiced. That's the terrifying part, and we leave in 2 months, 3 months, somewhere around there. Yeah. So yeah, there's my team. They're incredible people. We have a team of 14, I think it is. We have 14 people. Somebody's going to count and be like, Clayton, it's not 14. Oh, it is? Yeah, okay, cool. So this picture really captures our group. It could not be a better group of people for the ministry that we're doing because this group of people are so energetic and they're so crazy. They're literally just wild. We spend most of our time laughing amongst all the other teams going. I think there's like 10, I think there's 10 groups going. We're known as the loudest because we're usually over in the corner laughing as loud as possible because we love to laugh and we love to have joy, which is going to be really good for our ministry. So that's my team. I'm not going to name them all because it'll take like 10 minutes, but it's going to be really good. So I'm really excited. Yeah, so that's what we're doing. I have to raise $3,000 by the end of April. The first deadline, or checkup, I'll call it, is next week, where I have to have $1,000 raised. I have $200. So, I need help. That's a good way to put it. So what I'm asking is that you guys support me any way that you feel. I don't care if it's 20 cents. I don't care if it's just prayer, even if it's reaching out to other people that you know. We're going, and we're going to share the gospel. We're going to share the gospel to Germany, and I know that Germany, of all places, has some very dark scenes. I mean, every place does, but they have a very dark scene. And I'm really excited to go because some of the dances that we're going to be working on target that dark culture of the kind of underground, you know, prostitution and drug abuse and things like that. And I'm really excited because we get to go into that culture and just shine a light, and it's going to be so much fun, especially with these people, and we've bonded so well, and we're all so different. Oh, my goodness. Very, very different people going into that, and by now, like, that I can say that they're like family to me. I love these people. So if you guys could support me any way that you possibly can, believe me, prayer is something we need, because I know everybody else is really behind on fundraising, and we're the biggest team. It's hard because we have such a big team and trying to raise so much money. But prayer, just please pray, please pray. If nothing else, please pray for us, because big things are going to happen with this team. I already know it. I can feel it. Like, God is just moving through our team, through all the teams. Also, pray for the other teams. We have teams going everywhere. I have teams going to various parts of Europe and Africa. We had a team that was going to Jordan, but they're not going to Jordan anymore because it's too dangerous. But, you know, we send people places. We send college students to places that sometimes are really dangerous. I mean, sharing the gospel is not easy, and it's not always safe. In fact, it's not usually safe, especially when you're going overseas. And so we're really excited. I am just really happy to be a part of this team and to see what's going on. And also, a lot of you guys have asked what happened last time. 2 years ago, I had a mission trip. I got really sick. I couldn't go. And a lot of you guys donated to that. But what ended up happening was that the tickets had already been bought. Everything had already been paid for, so that money had already been spent. So unfortunately, I didn't get that money back, and so I'm starting back from zero this year. But I have full confidence that God's going to provide, because he always provides. That question that Jesus asked Peter, he asked all of them, but Peter answered, "Who do you say that I am?" That question's been just going through my head a lot, and I've heard a lot of people answer that question. And lately, I've just really come in peace to understand that God's my provider. He always has provided. He always will provide. Whether that be the way I think it is or not, he always provides. So that's what I'm doing. That's what's coming up. And I'm so excited. And, it's just good to be back to see you guys. I love you guys. And there's so many good, familiar faces. You, afterwards, I want to talk to you. I haven't seen you in years. It's just really good to be back and see you guys. I love you guys, and I'm excited.
Well, don't leave yet. Yes, questions. Good.
Questions are good.
How is God getting you into those dark places?
So
seems so scary.
Yeah. Basically, it's going to be through the dances. We're going out onto the street, and we're going to make a show so that people are like, "Oh, what's that?" And they start watching. But there's messages within the dancing. Like, one of them is, it involves the Berlin Wall, and the Berlin Wall is representing sin. And it starts out where you kind of see, like, oh, there's somebody, like a husband or somebody who's on one side of the wall and a wife on the other, and they can't get to each other. But then as you watch the story, it's really a woman who's sinning, and part of the wall is the sin. And it's Jesus on the other side, and he breaks through the wall, and he comes and rescues. And so we're going to...
Will those people that are living in that dark lifestyle understand what you're communicating?
If the Holy Spirit allows it, yeah. Yeah.
Do you have some people that speak German that will be going with you?
Yeah, we're going to be working with an in-country partner.
Good.
So, yeah.
So when I watch Clayton, first of all, Clayton did grow up here. And I don't know, when you came, you were like 7 or something.
Younger.
Where's your mom? She would
5.
Tell us exactly.
She's doing Sunday school.
Sunday school. And Clayton has always, by the way, he always talks fast.
I do.
But God has called his soul to be in ministry. And this time at William Jessup University has been really foundational for you. Mm-hmm. And you could tell John Jackson hi for me. I'd love to say hi to him.
I work with him a lot nowadays.
I know you do. That's pretty cool. He's a favorite. So Clayton and this team, that team of 14 people that were up there, you know, some of them God will call into full-time ministry. They'll become missionaries, pastors, teachers of different kinds. And so, yeah, we will take an offering. Actually, if you write a check and you want it to go to Clayton over this whole month or whenever, just put for Clayton Holmes mission trip on the memo line. If you give it in cash, you need to put it in an envelope or something so that it says Clayton's name on it. And, you know, Clayton knows, I was figuring, is this right? It's going to cost him $42,000 to take 14 people. So if anyone wants to write a check for $42,000, just bless them all. But then that would steal all the blessing from the rest of us who might be part of that. So here's what's up, guys. God calls people. God called Paul, and God called Barnabas, and God called Peter, and God called the tent makers, who Aquila and Priscilla, to be part of ministry. Some of it was paid for out of their own earnings, and some of it were gifts that were given by the church, even way back in the Bible days. And so, you know what? God provides. And Clayton said in his talk, you know, that God provides. We don't know how, but we watch God provide. You guys, it's his plan. It's his mission. It's what God is doing. And I pray, you know, it's interesting. My family was from Europe, and that part, my grandpa went to seminary in Berlin, which is right there. But God provides. And Europe at this point, though it was kind of a seedbed for the gospel generations ago, it's kind of a dark place these last few generations. They need Christ. So let's pray for you.
Yeah.
Okay? And let me hold that. God, I thank you for Clayton. I thank you for his life. I thank you, Lord, for his commitment to you. When he was just a young man, he used to love to teach Bible lessons. And he loved memorizing the Bible lessons and the scriptures through Awana. And he worked hard at it. And Lord, I know he wants to be wherever you want him. He wants to be faithful. He wants to be effective. And Lord, you've opened the door for him to go to the eastern area, these eastern countries, to Germany. And I pray, God, that the gospel through these efforts and other efforts of other Christian people who live there, ones who are traveling there, God, that your spirit would do a great work in Germany and the surrounding countries. And Lord, I pray for the other teams, 10 teams who are going to be going throughout the world, God, that you would use them to your honor and glory. And then I also pray, Lord, for your safety. My kids have gone on a lot of mission trips. A lot of us have gone on mission trips. And you have taken us over borders. And you have watched over our miles. And you have brought us back, mostly in one piece. And Lord, we've had some accidents and we've had some things. And you have shown up. And you have healed, and you have brought help along. So, God, we thank you for Clayton. We pray for your blessing on him and his team. I pray, Lord, that they would be deep in their trust of you and that they would be deep in the Word of God. And, Lord, it's kind of weird for some of us to think about using dance. But these are days when you're using all kinds of things to spark people's interest and speak to their soul. So, God, I pray that the gospel would be clear, even through this method of opening the doors. And we lift Clayton to you. Thank you for him. Bless him. And I'm looking forward to him coming back and telling us what happened. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Praise God. We're going to be talking in the next few minutes from Romans chapter 8. And we're going to primarily focus on the phrase in Christ. Okay? So in Romans chapter 8, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are
in Christ.
To those who are
in Christ.
That's right. So on this piece of paper, I'm not going to preach about this piece of paper. I just want you to have it. Many times through my ministry, we've talked about this phrase, in Christ. And we often ask the question, who am I in Christ? In other words, since I have been saved and Christ, God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit indwell me, and we talk about it mostly from the Holy Spirit's perspective, that when you're in Christ, what does it mean? Now, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, whoever's in Christ is a new what? A new creation. And we know that by heart. There are about, 95 different examples on here of what the scripture says about you being in Christ. So my intention with this piece of paper is that you will probably take it and fold it and stick it in your Bible and lose it until you need it. And maybe you'll be asking the question, God, I really want to rehearse these truths about who I am in Christ. You know, Dennis, would you help me pass them out on this side? Oops, excuse me, sir. And let's see. Bob, would you help me on this side? Just kind of do our best to pass those out. And you're welcome to look at them. I'd rather you don't read them while I try to preach, but if you do, you do. You'll learn a lot of good things about who you are in Christ. And so I'm going to do a couple of things. Some of you may have noticed that I was reading from a different Bible in the last few weeks. And I have gone to what's called the ESV, the English Standard Version. And it is very much like the New King James Bible. So what I wanted to do was talk about translations just for about 2 minutes. And it may be helpful to some of you. Some of you, it may be just like, I don't know why we're talking about that. But I'd like to say a couple of words, but I'm going to wait till these guys are done passing out the papers. And then I'd like to pray, and then we will continue. On that piece of paper, again, on the front side are these verses. By the way, there are many more scriptures that describe who you are in Christ. The top title just says, who are you or who am I in Christ? On the back is a letter written from a Calvary Chapel pastor some time ago, and he was the one who did the work to compile these verses, and I don't have his name. His name was not on the paper, and so it doesn't have credit, but I'm telling you, and if you want to write it on there, then maybe you can try to find his name. I do have a website, if you're interested, where this was found, but there are many wonderful in Christ kind of compilations of verses. Good. I'm going to go ahead and pray. Would you bow with me? Yes. No, it was not Chuck Smith. It was one of the newer Calvary Chapel pastors. Wasn't anybody I've heard of. Let's pray. Our Father, I thank you. I'm going to pray for Clayton again. I thank you, Lord, for Clayton and his team. Please take them safely and provide for them. It's going to be $10 here and $100 there and different people giving different amounts. And we have all watched you provide. And God, we pray that this would be to your honor and glory that they go. Now, Lord, we're going to talk about Romans chapter 8, and I pray that we would, as we focus on these in Christ truths and what it means to us, my prayer, God, is that you would show us how you are there for us, and you have made a way, and because you are in us, we have the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit working in us to help us in everyday situations. God, I pray that you would fill me, fill us, teach us in Jesus' name and for your sake. Amen. Okay, so what I wanted to say about versions real quickly is the translators start out with a Greek text or a Hebrew text or an Aramaic text. And I can't read this. I can identify some things. This is the Greek text that I used when I was in seminary. And so you go through, and that's what the translations are taken from. And so there are many, many people who understand Greek, can read it fluently, and they are able to translate. And so they come to a word like people. And you know what? When the Greek language says people, guess what it means? People. Right? So just translate word for word the words that come out of Scripture. And so there's really nothing crazy amazing about it. It's just that they can accurately translate from one to another. Then they take a book like this. This is a very common book. In fact, Corey brought one today. It's called a Strong's Concordance. And Strong's Concordance, in fact, if you like to study, this is a really fun book. And you think, man, that is a lot of words to be a fun book. But it is a very fun book. And what happens is you think up an English word. So we're reading, let's say you read the word condemnation. So there's an English correlation. You look up the word condemnation, and this will give you all the places where the word condemnation is used. And then to the side of that is a number. And the number corresponds to either a Greek dictionary or a Hebrew dictionary that are in the end of the book. So it's right here, right in the book. So you find the English word, you find the correlating number, and then you go to the dictionary. And you know what you find? You find the definition for condemnation. And it shows you Old Testament examples and New Testament examples. And so what happens is you're able to go from the English word, look up the original word, and find out its meaning. The goal of every Bible translation, and there are two different kinds of Bible making of Bibles. One is a translation, and the other is a paraphrase. Okay? So in a translation, what they're looking for is a word-for-word correlation. So if it says, in the beginning, in Hebrew, the translator writes, in the beginning. Okay? That's a word-for-word translation. And that's what we as teachers, pastors, Christians look for mostly. We want to be able to have a solid translation of the Bible. Now, you may say, well, there are good versions of the Bible that use different words. And what happens is you take in the like the Strong's, and you're looking up a word, you say, this is the definition. It may give you two or three different words to describe the original word. And so the translators say, this word describes it the best. And they use that word. So the New King James may use a word that the NIV uses a different word, but it's exactly the same what? Meaning. Okay, so that's the difference between translations. The ESV, and I did this all because I'm telling you why I changed to the ESV. First of all, my Bible was falling apart. Secondly, I wanted the notes in this Bible to read. And the ESV, for me, it's very close to the New King James, and it's an accurate translation. So it's word for word. And that's what I need. I believe that the Bible is the revealed Word of God and that it is perfect and it gives us all the instruction we need for life and godliness. And so That's why I went to the ESV for me, and I wanted you to know a little about translations. Now, I didn't say with a paraphrase. A paraphrase will take the words like "in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth," and a paraphrase explains or adds words to help that be more understood. And so there are additional words in a paraphrase so that it will help the reader understand what's going on. And so some people love reading paraphrases. They love the Living Bible is a paraphrase. And many others. The Passion is a paraphrase. I'm sorry, the Message is a paraphrase. So those are ideas that are described, but they're not word-for-word translations. So the Bibles that, I'm just going to list a few that are word-for-word translations. The New American Standard is a word-for-word translation. And they actually go in the order of the Greek words. So it's a little awkward to read sometimes. The New King James, the King James. The NIV is kind of a combination. It's mostly a translation, but sometimes it's a paraphrase because it adds thoughts and ideas to help the reader understand. So the good part is, honestly, the amazing part is that we in America, and I mean this with all my heart, we have amazing translations of the Bible. You can go to a Bible bookstore, you can go online on Amazon.com, and you have all kinds of opportunities to buy Bibles that are accurate word-for-word translations of the Bible. And we could talk about how you find those if you cared about that at some point. Maybe you're looking for a Bible. But the Bibles that you're reading, if you read the NIV or you read the New American Standard or the King James or the New King James or the ESV, you're reading Bibles that are word-for-word translations. And there are differences, and someday we could talk about that. But we have wonderful, if you wonder, is my Bible, does it say what God originally said? Yes, it does. And the words make a difference. So, our new life in Christ. And I italicized in Christ because I wanted to focus on that. It means that in Christ we have a new life, we have a new nature, and there's new fruit. The life that we live is different than the life that we lived before we came to Christ. Would you agree with that? Yeah. We have a new spirit. We had before we were dead in trespasses and sins, and now we are alive in Christ. Before we were missing the Holy Spirit of God, God the Holy Spirit, and now we have God the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so we are a new nature. It says the old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And as a result of that, there is new fruit in our lives. There are new actions, new thoughts. God is working in your life and building and teaching you in your life. And so there's a different kind of behavior in a Christian's life. I've heard people say, you know, if someone asked you, or let's say you asked them when they were saved, and you're trying to determine when that person was saved, you might just ask the question, when did your life change? When did you begin seeing new fruit in your life? And that would be a good question to ask. When did your life change? Because when the Holy Spirit comes in, you can't help but have different fruit in your life. So in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15, yeah, you can see that. It says, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. So just grasp that for a minute. Peter is writing. He says, but as he who called you is holy, and the one who called you is who? God, yep, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, but God, primarily the Father, is given that. He calls us as he who called you is holy. And the word holy, we sang some beautiful songs about the holiness of our eternal God today. And I think that the focus of the holiness of God is so important for our Christian lives. So as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all of your conduct. And sometimes we as Christians may be a little soft on ourselves. You know what I mean? It's like, wait a minute, God is holy, calling me to be holy in my conduct, to be set apart, to be different from the world. And that is the challenge, and that is made possible by the indwelling Holy Spirit. Now, I just want to talk about the Holy Spirit for a minute. We're going to read about it in, if we get there, we're going to read about it in Romans chapter 8. But, you know, we use the phrase Holy Spirit a lot, and that's wonderful, the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, the word holy, is setting apart this name of the Spirit that we're calling. The Holy Spirit is God, who is holy. It is His Spirit. Okay? That may seem very, very obvious to you, but it's, I just don't want us to lessen the value of the word Holy Spirit. There's only one Holy Spirit. There's only one God. There's only one Holy Spirit. And sometimes the Bible will use just the word Spirit, but it's always capitalized when it refers to the Holy Spirit. And only God is holy. So just kind of keeping that in mind. The next slide. So the word sanctification, and the word sanctification is to be set apart unto a holy life, a life that is filled with God in our lives, God the Holy Spirit. And the question I asked, where does this in Christ fruit show up? Okay. Now, the reason I asked that question was because of this. Sometimes we can know the truth, God is in me, by grace I've been saved through faith. It's not of myself, it's a gift from God, not of works, lest any man should boast. At that point is when you are in Christ. But it translates into behavior, into your conduct, because it is when you have the new nature, when you have God the Holy Spirit living in you, you are a new creation. And Romans 6 is going to describe for us, you know, the old nature, you could identify that, and you can identify the new nature in someone. So these are just some ways on this slide. Sanctification, where does this in Christ fruit show up in your life? In these ways, in your thinking, in your meditation, in your influences, your trust, your faith in God's promises. So the way you think about God, the way you think about life, the way you think in general, God impacts that. So the in Christ fruit shows up in the way you think. It shows up in your hope and trust in God when you face loss or sickness or fear. Let me just distinguish that. There are times where we may feel very discouraged or hopeless or be going through loss or be afraid. And the fact that God is in us, that we're new creatures in Christ Jesus, the in Christ fruit shows up. And how does it show up? In ways like, so you're in a point of fear and you're in a point of, God, I don't know what's going to happen. I'm in a crisis in my life. And what happens is you tell somebody who's a Christian and they pray with you and they trust with you and they walk with you through that. And what does this group of people do now? They trust in God for the answers. They trust in God for the unknown. They trust in God with you and they pray with you. And that's an in Christ kind of fruit, a fruit that happens in a person that's growing in their trust, their understanding, and their sanctification in Christ. The third area, this in Christ fruit shows up in your relationships, in your relationship challenges with your friends and neighbors. Anybody ever have relationship challenges with your friends or neighbors? Sure we do. And because God the Holy Spirit lives in you, you have a new way to think, a new resource to go to for help. You say, God, I need your help to forgive. God, I need your help to understand. God, I trust in you to work this out even though I can't see the end of it. You see, there's a different way of thinking that the in Christ person has. These may seem very obvious, but I just wanted to mention them. You'll see this in Christ fruit show up in your marriage and family and toward your children and your relatives. Prior to being in Christ, you really didn't think about whether or not your brother or sister or mom or dad or were saved. And now you have Christ in you, and it affects the way you think, and it affects the way you pray for your family, and that you do pray for your family, and your care for your family. You might even feel so passionate that you want to go and talk with them and so on. So this in Christ fruit shows up in your marriage, your family, toward your children and relatives. In your marriage, you know, that's one thing I think that all of us, anybody who's married, you understand how much you need Christ and what he's called us to in marriage. In our men's class, regularly, we talk about how we are called to love our wife like Christ loved the church. That's not how the world sees it. It's very different. The in Christ fruit shows up in your stewardship of time and talents and treasure. You know, when I watch how people in Pioneer Bible Church serve in so many different ways, they serve with time and talent and treasure. They give up evenings. They give up mornings. They take time to study. They take to invest. They take time to call and listen to people. When you're in Christ, you're a new creature. Those are the kind of things that you see in your life. And I've been the recipient of those kind of things where people have said, can I pray for you? Can I help you with this? Can I do this? And that's a huge blessing. In Christ, fruit shows up in our generosity through attitude and sacrifice and purpose and care and outreach. You know, I know that the world can be benevolent also. But a guy like Clayton comes and says, I'm going to Germany. And some of you are praying, God, should I be part of that? Would you like me to give something to Clayton? And you're wrestling with that. And that is an evidence of the fact that Christ is in you and he's working in you. And so our generosity and through attitude, sacrifice, our purpose, what we do, how we care, how we outreach. And then this in Christ fruit shows up and this is now more targeted on what you do by yourself, but it shows up in your interest and your hobbies and your recreation, your free time, your reading, your movies. And I threw in what you choose on Netflix. And it does, because what happens is the Holy Spirit is working in our life and we think, I'm really interested in this. Maybe I should or shouldn't watch this. Will this be good for my heart, good for my spirit, good for my soul, good for my relationship with Christ, right? And the last one, this in Christ fruit shows up in your service to Christ, your use of gifts, your purpose of your life. And so let's go to the next passage here in Romans chapter 7. So as you inspect the fruit of your life, what does it show? And actually, I think we're called, all of us, to inspect regularly the fruit of our life. Don't you do that pretty regularly? Kind of inspect the fruit of your life? I do. And I often think, Lord, I could be doing more. Or Lord, and so on. So here's what the scripture says. Romans 7 says, therefore, my brothers, you also died to the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit to God. So maybe you can see in this scripture this transaction that takes place, this going from being dead in sin to alive in Christ. And I'm going to read it again. Therefore, my brothers, you also died to the law through the body of Christ. Think about what Christ did. We all know this, that Christ went to the cross. He was the innocent lamb who took my place, and he bore how much of my sin? All my sin. He bore all my sin so that you might belong to what? Another. You were once serving the enemy. You were once serving Satan. Now you're going to serve Christ so that you might belong to another, to him who raised him from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit to God. And that is, we'll see that over and over in Scripture, that we as Christian people filled with the Holy Spirit in Christ, we bear fruit unto God. And that's what we are. We're fruit bearers unto God. Putting on a new uniform. So when my kids were little, all of them played different kinds of sports. One of the sports my kids played a lot of, and we spent a lot of Saturdays at the park, my kids played soccer. And they played for years. Any of you go through that? Yeah, for years, playing your kids playing soccer. In fact, my boys were so into it that they became referees. And then they started driving their car and actually making money refereeing the game. But putting on a uniform. When my kids were little, and I'm actually thinking of one of my boys, that, you know, they go to practice, and when they're young, they just kind of, they call it bunch ball, right? The kids are just running around. Everybody's kicking the ball, and nobody really knows even what direction it's going. They're just kicking the ball. But there is that point where finally the coach purchases the shirts, and they put on their uniform for the first time. Do you have any recollection of that? And I remember my kids putting on their shirt for the first time, and it was like, wow, I got a new uniform. And now I don't really know if they listened better, but they looked better out on the field. And I thought, you know, that's what happens to us. We're in the old uniform of the unsaved, and we put on a new uniform. Now our goal, now our fruit is to make goals for the team. You know, our fruit is to make goals for the coach, to listen to the coach, to obey the coach. And we do. We put on a new uniform. So you've trusted in Christ, you have a new uniform. And you've put on a new uniform, you come to the practices, you know, and you show up for the games, and you listen to the coach, and you follow the rules, and you do things that are fruit for the coach, fruit for the team. We do things as fruit unto God. In Romans 8, verse 2 and then 5, it says, "For in Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life has set you free from the law of sin and death." Verse 5, "For those who live according to the flesh set their mind on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their mind on the things of the Spirit." Looking at time. You know what I think I'd like to do? Can we just go back to slide 2, Mike? I'm adjusting here. In Romans 8, the first couple of paragraphs is this powerful description of how you have changed and I have changed in Christ. It says that for a long time we walked in the flesh, then we were saved. Last week, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. Not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." The next words are, "We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works." We go from wearing the uniform of the enemy to wearing the uniform of Christ. We are in Christ. And that fruit, the new fruit that's in our lives, affects all these different areas of who we are. And frankly, thank God that God the Holy Spirit empowers us to be growing in holiness and sanctification and seeing that fruit unfold in these relationships. I'm just going to invite the worship team up. I would like to say this. God has called us here at Pioneer Bible Church to be part of this team. And thank you for being part of the team. You know, the team can't make any goals unless the players are on the field. And when the players are on the field, you know what they need to be giving? It's what you yell at your kids or talk to your kids when they're going to practice. And you tell them, give it your best. Give it your best. And God has called us in significant ways to be on this team at Pioneer Bible Church. And I am grateful. I am grateful for this family. A lot of our adults right now aren't here because you know what they're doing? They're teaching children's church. During your Sunday school classes, while you're in Sunday school, some of the adults are missing because they're teaching children's Sunday school. Some of the people in that room are the teachers, and they've done some preparation to get ready for those classes. The ushers come early so that they can be here to greet you and prepare that way. The security team is here so that they can be setting up and getting their radios and working together. Steve and Kathleen are here all week long at different times preparing so that this place is clean and it looks presentable for you and that the lights work and the heaters function. On and on and on and on it goes. And praise God. And for what purpose? So that we can see those 50 or 60 Awana kids show up in mass and be, right, Ruth and Michelle, and a handful of kids, you know, everybody's hands are full. Why? So that we can share the good news of Christ with them, hopefully deepening their roots so they can walk with God. Sometimes they, most of the time, they follow through and walk with God. Sometimes they fall off, but never does the scripture return void, right? So we're the team. God is calling us to give it our all, to give it our best, to serve with each other, to be part of the body of Christ, part of the team. And I think that's all I'll say today. I'm glad to be part of the team. And if you have never trusted Christ as your Savior, genuinely and sincerely, today's a great day to do that. To say, God, I need you. I need to be saved. I need to be forgiven. I need to be a new creation in Christ Jesus. Think about that while we're singing. Think about God's holiness. Think about who He is and who we're called to be. Let's stand together. There's a better life. God, we thank you that you absolutely change our lives. You forgive us, you free us, you give us hope, Lord, and you give us each other, and we are the body of Christ. Thank you for gifting us. Thank you for filling us. Thank you for bringing us together. God, I thank you for the individuals who make up the church, Pioneer Bible Church. Thank you, Lord, that you've brought us to serve you here. Let us serve you with energy. Let us serve you with enthusiasm. God, let us serve you because we're grateful. Lord, we want to be the most effective, the brightest light for Christ that we can be in Somerset and the surrounding area. We commit ourselves to that. And thank you that we have each other to work with. Bless our meal together as we eat and then our prayer time together. We commit each other to you and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.